When Steve, who was supposed to be in control of the tiller, but was actually admiring the scenery and thinking how brilliantly colourful it all was, heard a shout from her brother Tim.
"Concentrate, girl," he warned her. "For heaven's sake, keep your mind on the job or we'll be in trouble, as sure as my second name's Bertram. This is a tricky coast, and the wind has just veered on us, which is unfortunate, as we were doing very well with the wind as it was."
"We seem to be doing very well as it is," Steve replied, wondering whether the gentle zephyr that was now fanning her face, instead of lifting the ends of her hair on her neck, could rightly be described as a wind in any case. Yet they were certainly moving through the water, cutting through the strangely translucent blueness, with gardens of coral and weed far below them, like the blade of a knife cutting through butter. The simile pleased her. A silver-bladed knife, she thought, and the creamiest of creamy butter, like the foam that was being churned up round the purplish-blue rocks ashore. Strung out like that on the yellow beach, they looked like great chunks of some semi-precious stone that ought to be part of a necklace, and the thread was provided by the endless trails of seaweed. The sand that was composed of millions and millions of pulverized shells glittered in the slanting afternoon light, and high above the beach, the pink-washed villas with their green roofs and gardens ablaze with exotic flowers helped to create a fantastic blaze of colour that actually hurt the eyeballs. Steve shielded her eyes with one hand from the glare and wanted to know what the glittering white confection occupying a far larger space than any ordinary villa, and with fairy-tale gardens running right down almost to the beginning of the beach, was.
"Oh, that's Quinta Rosa, Don Manuel's place," Tim told her, taking a reef in the sail in order to be on the safe side. "I pointed it out to you the other day when we were driving past the main gates. I said it was just possible you might be asked to dinner while you're here. But it's even more possible you'll be asked for drinks. Don Manuel does things gradually. All high-ranking Portuguese do. They're sticklers for etiquette and that sort of thing. You'll find them disconcertingly formal."
"And is Don Manuel the man you were telling me about?" his sister asked. "The one who is getting married soon, and who wants you to do the murals for his new sala, or whatever it's called?"
"Yes, it's a valuable commission, and I accepted it at once, of course. By the way,"
he frowned across the few feet of space that separated him from his sister,
"I wish you weren't wearing quite such short shorts."
They were certainly very brief, and they allowed a length of deliciously slender, honey-coloured leg, terminating in pretty feet peeping out of open-toe sandals, to be visible to everyone. Her sun-top was brief, too, and did the same thing for dimpled shoulders. Apart from that, she was everything Tim felt he had a right to be proud of in a sister, who had just joined him, clear-eyed and soft-skinned and engagingly confident. Her hair was a warm brown like his own, and curled without the assistance of a hairdresser. Her eyes were startlingly, wonderfully blue.
"Why?"
she said, trailing her hand in the warm water and delighting in the silky feel of it. "Is his nibs a bit sticky about things like that? Short shorts, I mean. I know I read somewhere that the Portuguese like their women clothed, and preferably in somber clothes. Is that true?"
"Oh, yes. No self-respecting Portuguese woman would ever be seen wearing slacks, let alone shorts, and black is considered very chic, particularly in the evenings."
"I must remember that. I've got a couple of very smart dinner dates, and I'll wear one of them when I'm invited to the Quinta."
"If you're invited to the Quinta."
His eyes gleamed at her, a trifle ruefully.
"But if we run into Don Manuel on the quay, and he takes one really good look at you, I don't think that'll be very likely."
"Why?"